Let your allies come around your black joy at the barbecue, the wedding, when we are celebrating our blackness to the extreme and we love it. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Anissa.
I'm Luanda.
And I'm Sophie.
Hi, I'm Linda E.
Hello and welcome to episode one of Ethnically Speaking. We are four fabulously smart and intelligent women of colour representing the UK. And we are here to talk about any and everything affecting our communities, from pop culture to current affairs, everything in between. There will be no tiptoeing around. So forget about technically speaking, because today we are ethnically speaking. Always keep it at 100, you know. Today's episode is very important for two reasons. Number one, it's our very, very first episode. But number two, because of everything that is happening right now. So we felt that it was only right that we dedicate our first episode to Black Lives Matter and the whole entire movement and everything surrounding it. So Luanda, from one queen to another.
Well, you guys already know I have been dying to speak to you about everything that's been going on with the Black Lives Matter UK and US and the global movement that's been happening. The exposure is something that we've never seen before, ever. And any and everyone has been talking about it. But Black people, especially Black influencers and celebrities, are now being called out for being quote-unquote silent on their social media. So I wanted to ask you guys, how important is it that members of the Black community speak out on social media about these topics? Linda, what do you think about that?
Oh, girl, now you know I think it's very important. The thing about this is, I think if you're a person who has a platform, it is your duty as someone who is living this. You're not just someone who has potentially heard about it or someone who knows someone it's happened to. You are a Black person. You are someone who is living this situation. You are living everything that's being discussed. It is so important that you use your outlet. Don't get twisted. I know that, you know, it's not all about posting, and some people may not be posting, but maybe doing things behind the scenes. And I suppose the world we're living in, if you don't see it, it never happened, didn't it? So I still think it's important as a Black person who has any kind of platform. You need, come on, how about, imagine, okay, for me, am I just going to stay silent? Have my whole Instagram, oh, hey, turn up when everything is happening. No, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I mean, sorry, I don't even know if I introduced myself. I'm Sophie. So yeah, I'm Sophie Hannah. I'm on here repping. I was really angry in the beginning. I was really angry in the beginning because I had a lot of family and friends who weren't posting. So people who are Black by descent or mixed race or celebrities or influencers. I'm like, and you know, when Rihanna said a little while ago, people need to pull up. Like, yeah, people need to pull up, because, you know, if you're friends with someone Black, then you know what? You need to be riding for this issue as well. So I was really upset about it. But then I read an article. I don't know if you ladies saw it. It was by Yomi Adedike. She wrote for British Vogue, and she talked about this whole idea of receipts. Like, you know, we always talk about, do you have receipts? Like, do you have the proof? Like, you met Drake, where's the receipts? Do you have a picture? Yeah. Where's the proof? And this whole idea that we need to now do that on social media. Like, I need to prove that I stand with Black Lives Matters. I need to prove that I support Blackout Tuesday. And she just really talked about how that can put a lot of pressure on people when a lot of people just don't know what to say.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sophie, because, like, just even speaking personally for myself, since this has all started, I mean, I had taken a social media break before all of this started, and then I came back in the throes of it, and I was like, whoa. And so I have decided to, like, not continue with my break from social media, but I've been very selective of going in and out of it. So I may not be posting as the average Black person is. And so you don't really see much on my social media, but you're not seeing anything at all. And that's because I'm choosing to fight in a different way. And so I'm out there doing the actions versus being on social media. So for me, it's not like I'm not going to nail anyone to the cross if they're not posting on social media, but I will have something to say if you're not doing anything at all, because I just feel like as the Black community, well, I don't want to speak for the whole community, but I'm just saying, like, we have just spent so much time talking. We've spent so much time talking. It, for me now, it's like, okay, let's done with the talking. We actually have to have some action now.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I understand we're living in a hyper-visible society. So if I can't see what you're doing, then I'm going to be like, hey, why aren't you doing it? So I understand the balance of it. So that's what it's like for me. I understand that it's important to show people that you do support, because, you know, that can have a domino effect for others who aren't engaging in it.
Yep.
At the same time, your actions matter more to me. So I'm on the line.
But that's the thing, Anissa, like, oh, it's like I just, so for example, like Ashley Waters, you know, he's the actor on Top Boy. Yes. He was in So Solid Crew. Like, he posted a video very angry. Like, he actually started to cry because people had called him out and were saying, you haven't said anything. And he's just like, a lot of you wouldn't even be in this industry if it wasn't for me. Yeah. Like, he's been paving the way for years. And he's like, because I don't post, now suddenly I'm not down for Black Lives Matters. Like, and I think that's where we start to come into issue. J. Cole got called out for it. Yeah. And then they saw him at a protest. It's just
media
is not the be-all and end-all of whether I'm down for my people.
100%. This is how I feel, like, from these past couple of weeks, because it has been such, like, so exposed, it's been so massive that people are like, oh, well, you haven't said anything, why not? We've been talking about it. And for Black people, we've been living it. Our whole lives and our ancestors before that. I don't feel like Black celebrities and Black people with influence, I don't feel like they need to say anything. Like, it's not on them, because I feel like it perpetuates the narrative that racism is a problem for Black people to solve, when racism is not Black people's problems.
Yeah.
Like, Black people are victims of racism. It's not our issue to solve. If racism could have been solved with Black people's voices, don't you think we would have figured this out?
It would have been gone. It would have been done.
Do you know what I mean? So the idea that people aren't writing for Black lives just because you haven't hashtagged it on Twitter is ridiculous. Like, as much as I hate performative allyship from non-Black people, I also don't feel like Black people then need to be performing their grief for the internet.
Yeah. But like, why? Just to throw a span in the works. For example, our influencers, our celebrities who aren't Black, but they profit a lot from the Black community.
Yeah.
Then there's a different kind of weight put on them, that they need to be hyper visible in showing that they are supporting the Black community. So their social media posts, people are looking more to them, if that makes any
sense. Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't have a problem with that. I feel like you absolutely need to be doing that. Because like I said, like, you know when people say silence is compliance, but it is white silence that is compliance. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I said, like, Black voices alone can't be changing the tide. If you are a person, especially one who's been benefiting from Black culture, especially one who's made your careers off of, off of like music or whatever it is, like, I feel like you do, because you reach a wider audience. Yep. I remember this one conversation that I was having with a white male, and I was trying to explain my point to him, and it was about racism. Two white friends walked past me, and both of them who I know are allies, so I said, sorry sis, sorry bro. Please explain. I had been talking to this white male for 20 minutes. They said what I said, what I had been saying for 20 minutes in 2 seconds. He was like, he considered it. You don't consider, do you know what I mean? You're not going to consider it coming out of my mouth. Like, if you already valued me, we wouldn't be in this mess to begin with.
But you know what? I agree and I disagree with that, because I believe, look, I'm going to, silence kind of is compliance.
Wait, you said science, girl.
I said science, but I meant silence. Silence is compliance, but I would disagree in saying it's only when it's white people, because Dave Chappelle released this video. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's called
8:43. Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
He is basically talking about, it's kind of like a little Netflix special that he filmed, and it's just a segment where he's specifically talking about George Floyd, Black Lives Movement, and the protest. And he said he was seeing a lot of Black people getting called out saying, you're not supporting. And he was just like, somebody better call Dave Chappelle's name, because he was like, I'm ready for them. But then he said, he then realized why they're calling him out, because he's like, people respect my opinion.
Exactly.
People want to hear what I have to say. So whereas he was just like, I don't feel like I need to add to the discourse, there's enough people speaking, we're protesting, you hear our voices. The point is, he's like, people respect my opinion and listen to it. Therefore, I'm going to say something. So for me, when you do have a platform, for me, I don't think it's your responsibility, but when Beyonce speaks out, people listen.
Millions of people like her
posts. Every time she posts, she gets millions of
millions.
So there is something in those people speaking out.
I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is, like, not all Black people are going to be on the same page. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes Black people speak up, and you guys, like, they just set us back by 30 plus years because you know, I mean, again, another story time, but this one time I was talking about Black History Month, and my white friend was telling me how, oh, there shouldn't be a Black History Month because it should just be integrated in all history teachers and blah, blah, blah. And like,
we agree with you, but
it ain't. Do you know what I mean? But it is not. And they were like, as I was speaking, she was like, getting up this little video. She got up a video of Morgan Freeman talking about how there shouldn't be Black History Month. And then she just points it to me and like, well, this Black man says this, so therefore, and you're acting like, you know what I mean, globally, like Black people are the global majority.
Yeah.
We aren't all on the same page about everything. And an example of that is, you know, the conservative Candace Owens.
White people are
like right wing, like white people are
Republican Americans. Right wing Republican Americans.
Why? They are loving Candace right now.
But here's the thing.
Giving her all the excuses they needed not to support the movement in the first place.
But see, but I think that's the reason why people with a platform should speak up. Because at the end of the day, I think with great power comes great responsibility. And you have people who follow you who may not even realize that racism is a thing until you've said it. We forget how important each individual voice is. Like, I've had conversations with three non-Black people who have been like, what's your experience? Because up until the point that I'd spoken to them, and these aren't people who see me as any Beyonce. These are people that see me as a human, but you know what I mean? But they better. But these people that see me as a normal person.
I am Beyonce. Beyonce.
But, you know, these people who just see me as a normal person and have actually been like, talk to me. So I never realized this was a thing. And you're a person that I know. What has it been like for you? So I think that is why. And yes, not every Black person is going to be... We know historically that not all of us have been on the same note. This is period, point blank. But if you have a platform, you have influence, and that influence should be used. So if you're a Black person, and don't get it twisted, end of the day, fundamentally, how would we know someone is doing something? So for example, let's say I have 100K followers, as me, Linda, Black girl, right? Linda is Black girl. But you guys don't see me post a single thing about Black Lives Matter. You see me posting up new gums, hashtag ad. You see me posting up, hey, waiting for, you know, I'm working out, post whatever. You see all of that. How would you guys know that I'm for the cause without seeing something from me?
It's a good point. We have to ask.
And I think there's obviously been people who I believe have been doing things in the background, and what they've done is taken the time to not post anything. So they're like, I'm not going to post about my makeup. I'm not going to post about me taking my dog on a walk. I'm just going to have a bit of radio silence. I think that is a good point. And I think that's why it's such a fine line between posting and not posting. And what does that mean? Because what about the celebrities who do speak up? Like, John Boyega spoke up. And
I got
to him. He didn't back down. He went to the protest and he was just like, you know what? I know I might not work again after this. And I'm just like, that's not a joke.
That's
like,
real.
We're asking them to speak up. Are we going to line their pockets when no one's calling them anymore? Like, Colin Kaepernick, who was doing the most peaceful protest, kneeling at the games and not when it was a national anthem for the NFL in America, he got kicked out of the NFL.
Yep.
And hasn't got a job back since, because he was just like, I'm going to talk and I'm going to ride and die for the cause. And I know it's going to come at a personal cost to me, but this needs to be done. And when we're asking celebrities to speak up, we need to be very mindful of what we're asking them to do. We're asking you to threaten your livelihood, threaten your children putting food on the table. Yeah. So I can understand when some people don't want to. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand it.
Yeah. Well, Kaepernick, Nike have been paying him a salary in secret. Just
really,
yeah,
they have to deal with them.
He can't do the job that he loves.
I know, thing, end of the day, guys, we have to sacrifice something. Do you think our ancestors weren't sacrificing for civil rights? Like,
it's true, it's true.
And don't get it twisted, it's a scary concept. And even as I'm saying it to you, I'm thinking, wow, what am I sacrificing by even saying this? But without sacrifice, there ain't gonna be change. And you know what? It's all about economics. Here's the thing, what you said about, oh, are we gonna support John Boyega? Listen, my boyfriend was saying it, yeah, when his next film comes out, it can be him talking to a lamppost. I'm going to cinema to watch that film.
I know, it's so true. John just got a Netflix deal yesterday.
No, that deal was before. That's the thing. People are announcing it now, but that deal actually came before.
We need to support that. Stream it all day and night on Netflix. Yeah. That is what we'll be. We'll all keep it running.
Netflix keep Kaepernick as well, right? If there were black people that owned teams in that league, please know they would be employing him. But we don't have enough socio-economic power in certain avenues.
You know what? I don't know if I agree with that, because whereas there might be teams that might be owned by a black person, the NFL in itself is the powers that be are white. And
that's what she's saying.
They're linked to Trump and stuff like that. So, but I'm saying, if there was let's say, for example, in terms of football, if Tottenham's owned by somebody who's black, they might not go against the Premiership, because
there are black people in the
higher up. Everybody else has the power. Yeah. And one black team going out against the grain isn't really going to be able to stand up.
I don't just mean a black person owning a team, not just the team.
Yeah. He means the institution.
In the superior ranks of the NFL, this wouldn't be lacking. This wouldn't be gone like this.
For real. For real. Listen, guys.
That's why I 100% give it up to activists who are out there sacrificing and doing the work, because it's not easy. Yeah. Like, it's been going on for a couple of weeks and I found it draining. Like, sometimes I can't go online. I can't
post. Yeah.
Emotionally, it's a lot. And there are people who make this their full-time work on behalf of us who are making these sacrifices. So I just wanted to say that. People like Candice Owen, who says stuff like, do you know what, if you don't want to get in trouble with the law, then don't be a criminal.
Wow.
Okay.
Candace is not, she's not for me. I think, like, her main point when she was doing that video, she kept talking about George Floyd's criminal record. I believe in second chances, but I don't believe in third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. But I'm like, babes, you believe in MAGA, you've been wearing that Make America Great Again cap. You believe in Trump, who had like 20 plus women saying that he's done something non-consensual with them in the 70s, had his own wife accusing him of rape in 1989, and was on trial for rape and was exposed for saying he can do anything for women during his presidential campaign. So you're not going to be able to convince me about criminality.
Allegedly,
your president's a criminal.
I don't know if he's ever been convicted. Let's just make that clear.
No, I didn't say that he's been convicted.
Just want to throw it in there.
Let's protect us from a lawsuit. Legends. I think we all agree that statements of support are great, but what actions are we and should we as a black community be taking to cause real systemic change? Because we've spoken about like actions we could do, but what are the real actions that need to take place? So I'm going to ask you, Sophie, since we're just talking about candidates. Sophie, what do you think? Like, what actions should we be taking?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw a video by Killer Mike. He's a rapper from Atlanta.
Mm.
He came out and gave like a press conference. And one thing that he said that really spoke to me was vote. Like, in America at the moment, America seems to have a lot of rounds of voting. So I know their national election isn't coming up till late this year, but they had an election that was going on. And people literally were queuing for 4 hours. But he was just like, one of the things that we can do to make change is vote. Vote in somebody who is going to vote in the policies that we want. Vote in somebody who is going to, you know, break down systemic racism and do all these things. And I think that sometimes when voting, we seem to be picking between a bad option and a worse option. Yes. That's what it feels like. And a lot of people, therefore, don't exercise their right to vote, which I understand. They're like, it's not going to make a difference. Nobody cares. But the point is, if we keep on doing that and we don't turn up to the voting booths or the poll stations, nothing ever will change. So for me, one of the major things is we need to exercise our right to vote, both here in the UK and overseas.
I'm going to expand on that with Sophie, actually. I don't think it's just about simply voting. I think we also need to start visiting our local council meetings because that is where all these little bits of change or rules and regulations, they start there. And if we're not physically present when they bring out these new legislations or they suggest these new legislations, we're just going to be hit with them when it's too late. So I think visiting our local council meetings, just literally, there's so many ways of doing it. If you just Google on.gov local council or whatever council you belong to, they're still, even now with lockdown and everything, they are still doing them via Skype and remotely. So I think that is something we need to do. But I think the main thing is wealth. It's all about wealth and power. Guys, think about back in the day, and I'm gonna go to colonization, right? When they came to Africa, what did they take? They took our land, right? Because it's a known fact that when you have land, you will have income streams, whether it's building upon that land or growing things upon that land. They came and took our land. They physically marked up our countries as their own. When the black people fought in the Civil War in America, they offered them 40 acres and a mule. The mule ain't too important. Who cares about that donkey? But the land, the 40 acres is, because why? You can't reproduce land. So once again, we were set back when those promises didn't come true. So it's all about power and money. So what we need to do is invest in black businesses. You know, our black pound lasted six hours in the black community. Hold on, give me a second. I think I screenshot.
She's got to confront her.
Yeah, in the Jewish community, money. I think it stays 2 weeks. The pound takes 2 weeks within the Jewish community and hours within the black community.
It was like, and the black community, the pound stays about 6 hours or something.
It's ridiculous. So what we need to do, and I know it's not easy because we were not the first to be granted loans. You know, the number of us who are able to get into higher education isn't as much. We aren't CEOs and in boardrooms. I get that call. But we need to start somewhere and reinvest into our communities, our businesses. We need to distribute wealth that becomes generational wealth. That's the
way. But I think we need to talk statistically. This is just a quick point. Sorry, Luanda. Actually, I think it's statistically that black Africans are one of the highest proportions in higher education.
You're right, actually. Yeah, actually, so, right. You are right.
We do have access, so I just wanted to clarify that we are heavily represented in education.
But we aren't getting the jobs afterwards.
Yeah.
Just to expand on what you were saying, Linda, is that I do think, like, we need to be out there with the black community, supporting black businesses, people have a bit more entrepreneurial spirit, et cetera, et cetera. But for those who are like working a regular 9-to-5 or maybe might be in more isolated parts of the country where there isn't such a strong black community, they can start, I think, with little steps within their own workplace, in their own, because for example, it's starting with the small stuff for me, and that's what's going to break systemic change. So when you're in your company, it's challenging all those little microaggressions. So for me personally, like just my own personal experience, my first workplace that I went into, it was an 80-person capacity office. I was the only black female there, okay, for X amount of years. And so every time I walked in with a new hairstyle, oh my gosh, what's going on? And wanting to have lunchtime conversations and going on and on and on. And there was just a point where I just, at first I was kind of like, you know, trying to play the game because I'm new to an office experience. I'm just out of uni. I'm trying to figure out how to assert myself, but to do my job, etc., etc., etc. Then I just got to a point where I was like, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. Every time I came in with my hair, I would just say, I'm not talking about it. I'm not explaining to you what I've done to my hair. We're not talking about it because I haven't asked you, oh my God, you've got a ponytail, Jill? I don't ask her to give me a step-by-step explanation of this new ponytail. I ask, and it changes. Yeah. And so
that was me breaking down the first steps of breaking down the I'm not like a show pony and all of you must know a black person does something new. And so it's almost like, not to ramble on, but it's like I don't know if you guys saw the article about like Republic Records.
Yes.
No longer going to use
Urban.
The word urban to describe music. Urban has been around for so long, when urban is more a geographical term. I don't understand why it was grouped several different genres of music. It doesn't make any
sense.
It's
a good point.
But in the sense of wherever you are, in whatever industry you are in, whether you are the small fish, big fish, medium fish, swim, you know, you go in and you just break those microaggressions. You have to. If you're not in the place to start your own business, you've got to start where you are. So that's why.
Yeah, I don't think it's not so much about starting your own business, because not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Not everyone has that passion. But I think what Linda was getting at was to be support ones that are already there, right? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that like everyone who is an ally of the Black community, or anyone who is in the Black community, I would challenge them like right now today to find five things that they use regularly. And just replace them with something from a Black-owned company. Like if you need new duvet sheets, find a Black-owned company that sells duvet sheets and buy them. You need foundation, buy it from a Black-owned. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of stuff, like getting it into our regular pattern, that's when we see like big change. Like what you said, Anissa, like it starts small and then it gets big.
Exactly.
So this is where that's where we need to be heading from it. You know what I mean?
I can't nod anymore, Luanda.
Like, listen.
My neck
anyone watching this right now, after lockdown, next time you have a date night, just go to a Black-owned restaurant. Go and eat at a Black-owned restaurant. Let's start there, okay?
I think what you guys are saying is so important, because I know timeout.com came with a really great article, because it showed that there are so many ways that you can do. You can do Black-owned businesses, you can buy books. There are so many books that are at hand now. We can protest and we can donate to different causes, like the Black Lives Matter cause, Stephen Lawrence Trust, like another one was Show Racism the Card. Like there are a lot of different things that we can be doing in order to support this movement. But I guess for me, I feel like sometimes personally, some of the things that we do aren't actually moving us forward in terms of systemic change. Now, I'm
I don't want to be controversial.
In terms of like taking down the statues, like for me, I don't know if that's really leading to systemic change. Like, I think Luanda, girl,
Luanda, I'm with you.
Give me one minute. So, for me personally, I think that taking down the statue is an easy win. We take down the statue and then for UK or Great Britain, we've done something. We've contributed to systematic change. And I'm just like, how about we get all the information from the school curriculum? How about we teach children both sides of the story? Because taking down the statue is cool, but a lot of these statues, people don't even know who they're walking past. A lot of them.
So for me,
seeing that as like a win for structural change, I don't see it like that. Boris Johnson said when they wanted to take down Churchill was, you know, if we take him down, we're going to be lying about our history. And I'm just going to be like, let's tell the whole history, Boris. Let's talk about the things that he did for the war, and let's talk about where he was out and out racist, and talk about the whole entire character of a person. Because taking down a statue is not going to make long-term change, in my opinion.
No, I hear that 100%. I don't think anyone was seeing that as a structural win. The reason why the statues, like dashing them things into the rivers there, that's so important to me because of what it symbolized.
Yes.
And actually, Sophie, like after they were knocking down statues, after they did, was it Edward Colston in Bristol?
Yeah.
Then the conversation of what are we doing to our society began. It opened up something new. Because like you said, we don't even know who we're walking past. We don't know.
We don't.
But looking at how, okay, not only was there an Edward Colston statue, but there was also a Colston Tower, and then there was a Colston Hall. You're looking at how integrated, how ingrained racism is in our society, and doing
and celebrated
that vision. Yeah, and then directly after they knocked the statue into the river, the next person that was on the news was a Black woman saying, we need to talk about these things in our school curriculum. But they would not have had her on the show if we hadn't knocked my man into the river in the first place. Do you see what I mean?
I understand. I think that's a good point. It's a good point. So it opens up conversation.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't think no one was like, oh, we put it in the river and then we're done.
That's it. Let him drown.
But this is some of the things that people think. They think that, well, we give you this, so you should be fine now. We've taken down the statue. We're about to take it down. You know, it's a win. And I'm like, it's not a win for me. It's not.
And that's why neither are them black squares.
It's about having long-term action, I think. I think at the moment we are being... which is fine because something tragic has just happened, but we're being quite reactive, and I think now we've got to go to the point where we're proactive. We have to have some sort of long-term plan. Where that plan will come from, I don't know. I'm not of political.
I will slightly disagree with you, Anissa. I don't think we're being reactive. Do you know why? This Black Lives Matter didn't start with George Floyd.
No.
It didn't start. And protests about taking down statues didn't just start after Colston was brought down. Conversations like this have started, I think it was a year or two ago, that one particular woman was talking about it in Bristol in particular. So these things haven't just started.
Not those particular things, just to clarify my statement. I mean more like of the Blackout Tuesdays and Pretty Little Things and brands saying, like we support Black Lives Matter. That stuff is being quite reactive, I think.
You often know these brands as PR, right? You know, at the end of the day, they want to keep their coin. It all comes back to that coin, doesn't it, right?
Yeah.
So I think the reason why these brands are doing this now is because there have been so many voices added. I think more people have woken up. Whether or not it's going to continue, whether the winds of change are going to continue, I'm going to say I'm hopeful that it will do, because I feel like this time feels a bit different to previous times, only because of the mass. We've had protests in 18 other countries. Was a country that had it and I was like, wow. Not Syria.
Germany.
Poland. Was it like Iran or Syria or...
I don't remember the exact, I know what you're talking about. I remember seeing
Going through it, and they took time to have that. Even Russia had one. Do you know what I mean? This is the first time. Every single state in America actually had a protest. That's historic. So I really feel like the winds of change are really moving this time. And I think if people wake up and realize that it is money, I will keep saying it.
But money is power, and that's why we need to keep talking about it.
But I agree with Sophie in a sense that we do need to teach our history. It's not that slaves were taken from Africa. It's people were taken from Africa and turned into slaves. Our whole... saying that, oh, we're lying. No, we know what he did. It's the fact that we educate, because that's the thing, all these people that are in school now, the kids, the children, the little babies, these people are going to grow up, right? And they're being taught now, what they're being fed now, that will continue the waves of change that have been started at present.
It's so true. Like, I went to a predominantly black school growing up, and it was a really great experience. It was a church school, it was a private school, and I was so entrenched in the idea. Let me not say that. Being black was just normal. Like, you didn't have to worry about it. There were no issues. I didn't have those things about, is it okay? Do I want my hair to be different? Because everyone was the same. And there was a beauty that really came with that. So we had Black History Month, but all the time was Black History. And we're talking about different things. When I was in year 5, I moved to a predominantly white school. And we had reading time on Thursday afternoons. And I was reading the children's version of Malcolm X that my mum had bought for me. And this little boy was like, who's Malcolm X? And I was just like, what? I was confused. I'm like, how can you not know who Malcolm X is? And I talked about Martin Luther King. He was like, who? And I was shocked because it was so normal to know about people like that. So Linda, you're so right. Like, it's about money, it's about power, and it's also about educating ourselves as adults and ourselves as children, so that they know the entire birth of history and what's going on. Because it's not okay for people not to know about any other culture apart from their own. Black people, we don't get that opportunity. We have to know about white culture to be able to function in the world.
Exactly. So
you need to know about us, who have also contributed in large amounts to society.
Also, it's really important for us to, when we're looking at re-educating people, to not start Black history with slavery. Like, there was a quote. Slavery interrupted Black history, right? And we don't want to talk about all the thousands of libraries that were burnt down. And I think the Greeks burnt a lot of libraries down, a lot of information that we had. The first university was in Africa. A lot of musical instruments originated from Africa. We are acting as if
Ethiopia, I think.
Yeah. What did you say?
the oldest churches in Ethiopia, I'm pretty sure.
You know what? That's actually where the university was as well. But these things that we're acting like we're welcomed into, we actually created. So we need honest re-education as well.
Definitely. Thank you, girl. I mean, while we're taking a second to pause, let me just ask our lovely viewers to go down below and like this video. Also, move across and subscribe to our channel so you can be the first to know whenever a new episode of Ethically Speaking is released, which is going to be coming at you thick and fast every single week. So, carry on the conversation, girls. Sorry, I had to just make a little pause there. Something that we've all been saying is we've been talking about how can the Black community support. Now, I've really been thinking about what about people outside of the Black community? So we've kind of touched on this, so I just want to bring it further in that there's a lot of brands, there's a lot of celebrities, there's a lot of influencers who are not part of the Black community or aren't owned by Black people who've been shown their solidarity visibly. So we believe. Let me just say that. Black Lives Movement. We're talking about Nike. We're talking about L'Oreal. We're talking about Starbucks. I don't know if you guys saw with Starbucks, but on the 1st of June, Starbucks posted an Instagram post saying, we stand with Black communities, we stand with our Black partners, we stand with our Black customers, we won't be bystanders. On the 10th of June, BuzzFeed.com released a story where Starbucks were like, yeah, we're not going to let our staff wear badges or t-shirts for Black Lives Matters because, you know, we don't want them to advocate for any political, religious or personal cause. So, people like Starbucks and other brands and so on, have they been showing true allyship or has it been PR spin? Luanda, please go, because I see you like chomping at the bit to answer this question.
Listen, so first of all, I know that we've already all acknowledged that what we're seeing now has been nothing like we've ever seen before. Yeah, so same. I have no intention of downplaying what it does for everyone to be speaking at once. Like I said, we've not seen anything like it. It's given us like a new sense of hope that we haven't had for as long as we've been alive. Okay, first of all.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer to the following statement. The thing is, I'm reluctant to believe that people's support is gonna go further than a hashtag. Yeah. I'm reluctant to believe that people who are making these statements are actually committed to seeing these things in their own lives. So, for example, we all saw that mess with Amy Cooper. So there was a Black man that was bird watching, and this white woman called Amy Cooper had her dog just gallivanting all over the place. You're not supposed to have your dog off the leash, obviously, because we'll yam up the birds. He asked her, can you put your dog on the leash? And she was so outraged at a Black man asking her to do something that she called the police, and she put on this like drama school performance of like, there's an African-American man, please come quick.
I just want to say, it's alleged that she was upset that he was Black. We assume, but we don't know that's the reason why she was upset.
Sophie, we know it.
Amy Cooper.
Sophie, we know it.
So says okay. Amy Cooper.
We saw the video. We know it, bro. We know it.
Bro, I'm just telling you what Amy Cooper said. That's all I'm telling you.
I don't business about no statements from Amy Cooper. Okay, I don't business. When she was on the phone, she mentioned that he was African American.
Knowing the implications.
She knows the power of white tears, and especially a vulnerable white woman at the hands of a Black man. She knows the power that it has, and she used that, okay? Yes. So the investment firm that she worked for fired her, and they made a statement saying, we do not tolerate racism of any kind, and we have to let Amy go. I think that is BS, okay? I feel like, yes, Amy needs to like have implications for what she did, but I feel like that should have been within the law. Like, you know how you get punished for wasting police time? Yeah. Like, I don't believe for one second that the company that she works for doesn't tolerate racism of any kind. Can I get like a statement from your Black employees, if you have any, that that is true? Because I don't believe that for one minute. People are just are scared. People are just scared. I know Linda's ready to talk. People are just scared of being on the wrong side. But the thing for me is, like, are you still going to be an activist when being a woke bae doesn't work with your Instagram aesthetics? You know what I mean? Are you still going to be calling out microaggressions when it's your boss or your favorite racist uncle at Christmas and not just some person without an avatar on Twitter? Like, let me know. Like, the real change, or we'll see the real change will come after lockdown when everyone can stop doing up keyboard warriors and start implementing real change. Okay, Linda, speak, girl, because I see you busting.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna try and remember everything, right? Number one, Sophie, with that Starbucks thing, right? A few days later, they then responded to a colleague to say that, in fact, they were going to give their black employees particular uniform to wear that was going to be supporting Black Lives Matter, and they wanted to make it a uniform. I do call that.
There's any.
I feel like they're doing it because they got called out.
New York Times did say that now they have said, oh, we've listened, we've paid attention, and now we're going to say it's okay to wear the pins, and we're going to give 250,000 t-shirts to all our workers who want to support Black Lives Matter, because, you know, we listen to what you guys say.
Wow. So here's the thing. I still think it's BS, but the fact that they were called out has now made a change. And I think what we need to remember is this, right? In the instance of Amy Cooper, yes, I don't believe her company is innocent. I don't believe her company are truly allies. But you know what? You should be afraid to be on the wrong side of history. And that's why I think it's good that she got fired. You should be afraid. You shouldn't think it's okay to be complicit. People should know that there'll be repercussions. And where's it going to hit you? It's going to hit you financially. You're going to lose your job. So these people that are firing, listen, there's an IG account that I follow, right? She was a gossip page. And now, since everything's been happening, she has stopped posting gossip. She is finding racists one by one and urging her followers to contact their employers and get people fed. And another one bites the dust. And you know what? Good. Because
people
No, I'll show you guys the page in a bit.
No, guys.
I even DM her to be like, here's another one, babes. But here's the thing, do you know why? People need to know that there are repercussions. And these companies that are seeing, wow, they're going to have to, you know, fire this, let this person go and let that person go. What's going to happen next? They're going to be asked to give statistics of the black people in their companies. So it will force them to hire. Looking at radio stations and media, BBC had their reports come out. Capital Extra had their reports come out. Global Bauer, all them companies. Channel 4 have said this. What's his name? Alex Ohanian from Reddit has quit his seat at the table and asked for a black person to be hired in his place, which was done. But these implications mean that black people will be hired. The change then comes is once they've hired their token black people, are they now going to continue to listen to black people and continue to continually hire people from black backgrounds? That's where it is. But I do think that it's a good thing that these people left, right and center are being fired. And I think it's a good thing that these organizations, even if they are just spinning it PR sake, what we forget is, there are people that follow these brands and organizations that don't think anything's wrong. So when they see that a brand like Misguided or like Ben & Jerry's, who've been actually doing things...
Ben & Jerry's have been doing absolute things
for at least 10 years,
yeah?
But people follow these corporations. And when they see these corporations posting, they might then say, actually, wait, if L'Oreal thinks there might be a problem, let me see, there might be one. So that's why I think it's
beneficial. Do you know what? I'm so glad that you brought up L'Oreal, because I don't know if you've heard of Monroe Berghoff.
Yeah,
of course, my girl.
Who was the first trans woman, which I'm pretty sure is correct, to be hired by L'Oreal 3 years ago. And she then came out and said, very close to the time that she was hired, in a separate interview, she was talking about white supremacy and talking about how it's affecting things. L'Oreal, off the back of that, immediately...
Sophie, can I say, that's not what happened. It was actually, she had a Facebook post, and her Facebook post was saying how white people are inherently racist because all white people are inherently racist because we're taught this from the day that we're born. And someone who saw that she was going to be the new face in one of the campaigns, who was, I think, transphobic or just an asshole, who knows, then reported her, then showed that to them, and that's what happened.
Ah, okay, thank you. So that happened, she got fired, and then she got thrown to the walls of the media. They ripped her apart. 3 years later now, Black Lives Matter has happened, and L'Oreal posted a post saying, and I quote, we think you're worth it. Was it something about racism? So, speak out because you're worth it.
That is it.
Speak out because you're worth it. Now, people were incensed because you're just like, hold on, Monroe spoke out 3 years ago. You didn't care about white supremacy then. And what I really respected about Monroe is that she waited a couple of days before she even said anything. Yeah. Then after a couple of days, she came out and said, look, I've given L'Oreal 2-3 days to respond. They haven't. And she basically cussed them out. She was just like saying, you lot didn't care. You threw me to the wolves. No one cared about how it affected my coin, how it affected me mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Like, nobody cared. And now you want to talk about this. Then a few days later, Monroe posts another post saying how she's been in talks with L'Oreal. L'Oreal had given $50,000 to two different causes that she's recommended, and she has now been hired on their UK advisory and inclusivity board as a consultant. The matter is kind of done. Do you guys think that L'Oreal are actually trying to make change, or do you think that they gave the money and hired Monroe in order to put a silence to the conversation and the noise that she was making?
To be quite honest, I think both.
Both, because, yeah.
Yes,
what she highlighted when she was talking about that was that the director is a different person. So we're working with the same company, but different people within it. And you don't hire an activist like Monroe if you're trying to keep things hush-hush. Like, she does not mince her words. She speaks out on every issue. If there was ever to be an issue going forward within the company, you know that we're going to hear about it, because she's not going to, you know what I mean, keep silent for keeping silence sake. Like, she speaks her mind. So I think, I actually think, like, just like how dashing Edward Colston's statue in the river was poetic justice, her being hired on my diversity board is as well, because she is such a broad thinker and she's such an intersectional thinker. She's one of, like, the most brilliant public intersectional feminists of our generation. You can't have someone like that working for your company and not see change within that company.
Yeah.
So hiring her, things are going
to
change.
I'm agreeing with Luanda on that, because for me, if they had just donated the money to the causes, I think that's where it would have stopped. So by putting her on the board is how we're going to that long-term progression, because I've seen, I don't know how much time you guys spend on LinkedIn, but I've seen so many companies say, oh, I've donated to George Floyd's family, I've donated to here, I've donated to there, and that's like, okay, I'm glad you're putting your spending money in that and everything, but what are you doing long-term? Because it's such a short-term fix. And I think by putting Black people, as we spoke about earlier, in more positions of power and more positions where they can be able to drive different conversations, I think that's going to help even
I think there's two things to look at within there. The first is being how Black voices are valued. So I think her being on that board, you're saying to her, we value your voice, okay? And then the second thing is what you were just saying, Anissa, about long-term commitment, because allies and companies who want to be allies need to understand that it's not just a one-off thing. It's not like I posted the Black Square and I'm good. Like, it is a lifelong commitment to seeing actual systematic change. And if you want to see that, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. It is for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that's kind of actually my point that I mentioned earlier, Linda, when I was talking about, like, some brands are being quite reactive, because you just, like, for example, I love them, but, you know, they got in a bit of a war. Pretty Little Thing, their first post, and they had a picture of a white hand and a black fist joining hands saying, that post was very reactive to the situation. It was just wrong. Of course, they've come back now and they've rectified the situations, and now we're seeing lots of Black influencers all of a sudden do a lot of collabs with them and et cetera. Yeah.
So how did they rectify, Anissa?
They basically came back and said, we've had some time to think. They put out another statement. We've had some time.
Okay.
We realized they basically said they realized that they kind of misstepped, and now they're trying to look at long-term actions and what they can do. And so that was my kind of opinion about that, bringing back to my early opinion. I just felt like a lot of brands were being reactive in the moment of, here's my blackout square, here's a picture, a nice picture that says we stand with you. And it was like, I don't want to see pictures anymore. Well, to be fair, it's the first time we're seeing it, but it's not enough for me. That's not even the bare minimum for me. I need to see a picture and a plan of action, and then I'll take that as the minimum, and then we can.
I definitely feel like this, especially when it comes to Instagram influencers. Like, the biggest Instagram influencers in general are white. And I think there are a lot of Instagram influencers who I believe jumped on the bandwagon and were posting Black Squares, or posting Desmond Tutu, Maya Angelou, Martin Luther King quotes. that also fitted their grid, matched the colours in their thing. Yes, so I was kind of like, okay. And it really, for the most part, it really upset me because most of them put it in their lives, so it disappears in 24 hours. And some of the people who put up the black square deleted it the next day. And I was kind of like, okay. There was one white influencer who I'm not going to mention. I felt like she went that extra step because she then posted like 101 different black businesses to follow, did a post on it, researched it.
You should mention her, man.
Yeah, give her props.
Her name is Victoria McGrath in the fro. And she talked about blackness businesses from authors to restaurants to fashionistas. And she talked about how she's really going to make a change. And I really love that going the extra step further, which it felt like. But as all of you have said, I'm not giving anybody props until a year's time when it's no longer cool. Exactly. When you turn up to your brand events and you're like, why am I the only, why is everyone white? Guys, we need to bring in the diversity. Actually, I can't work with this campaign because I've seen that you don't actually support diversity. Yeah. Like, those are the changes we're looking for brands to make, because like you're saying, posting is very cheap. It's very easy. And it's not going to make lasting change.
My only thing is this. My only thing is this, though. With Monroe's situation, the position they hired her for was diversity and inclusion. And what I'm finding is that a lot of these corporations are hiring black people for specifically diversity and inclusion roles. True. Why can't we be hired for roles that are powerful but aren't all about, you know, diversity and inclusion? It's just like, it's almost frustrating. It's like, once again, it's our job to make this company diverse or to make sure you're included. Mm-hmm. Can you not make sure you're including us yourself? You know? It's just like, I get it. They want to hear our voices and they want to have, and I suppose, our input. But it's just like, why? Just do it. Actually leads me to another question, right? Talking about input. Mm. Now, I personally have had three of my non-black friends ask me either how I'm doing or wanted to speak to me about the situation right now, right? The first one literally sent me a message and she was like, how are you doing, Linda? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I didn't know what she was talking about. And then she kind of elaborated. Yeah, I was like, you're fine. And then the second one was like, I wanted to speak to you, but I was scared to speak to you. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. And then the third one also said she didn't know where to start. So what can we expect from our non-black allies? You know, what can we expect them to do in terms of helping us and helping this conversation and this movement continue? Realistically, what can we expect from them? Loanda?
First of all... Firstly, I would like to say that whilst I do appreciate every white ally trying to do their bit, I think you need to understand how much of a negative effect it has existing as a black person in this world and then being gaslighted when you try to talk about your experience for however long we've all been alive. And it's only the past couple of weeks that people have been like, oh shit, maybe racism is real. Mm-hmm. We've been living it. We've been talking about it. We've been gaslighted when we tried to bring it up. Mm-hmm. And now you also want us to go do the emotional labor of being an unpaid teacher for your education and your advancement. That's a lot, okay? Me personally, I personally like have no issue having these kind of difficult conversations, but that's just me as an individual. You can't expect every black person that's in your life to be doing up book lists for your, you know, for your reading pleasures when we have the whole worldwide web that you can be doing your own research. You could type in how to be a white ally on the inters of web and then you're going to have... Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a fact, Luanda. I went on the internet yesterday, literally, and I tapped in, how do I educate, the first hit, myself on Black Lives Matters. Like, first hit. So I am fully with you in terms of if you want to educate yourself and you're an adult, the resources are out there. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a smartphone. So you have access to the information. So, and like you're saying, for a lot of people that I know, and I don't know if it's the same for you ladies, sometimes they're the only black person in their workplace, or one of a few, or one of a few black, and there might be some Indian, Asian. And it can be tiring for someone to think that you're the vocal voice
for your whole community.
It gets tiring. Bruh. It gets tiring. But I think also on the flip side of that, if it was someone who was my close friend and they came to me with a genuine question, then for me, I'm just like, I would not say to them, go educate yourself. I'd be like, okay, let's sit down. Let's have the conversation.
100%, 100%.
That's not what I did. You know, like the first person that asked me, her and I aren't particularly close. And almost kind of skated over it. Do you know what I mean? The second person, we are very close, and she really, I could tell that it was burning her. And she's someone who I've always been cool with. I've always been myself around her. You know, I'll do my Nigerian accent around her. She'll even try to do Nigerian accent too. You know what I mean? Like, I call her a mini Nigerian. So with her, I took time to actually, and she actually said, Linda, is there anything that I can read? Do you have, because she had already found some. She was like, is there any more? So I sent her stuff. The third woman actually said to me, how can I be an ally? And I said, babe, you need to go do some research.
You know what? That's a broad... Do you know what, Linda? I actually commend your friends for doing that, because all of my friends who are not black, let's say, for example, I've got 15 of them, I've only heard from one person. I have not heard from the rest of them who are not black. And it's not that I need to hear from you guys, but I mean, I've heard a lot of other black people talk about their non-black friends, and I've not even been given the opportunity to educate my non-black friends, because not to say that they not seemingly care, but it almost seems like they seemingly don't care. And the one person that did ask me, they weren't asking how to be an ally, how can I help, they just asked me, how do I feel about it? And then I kind of thought it was a redundant question, so I didn't ask, because you're asking me, how do I feel about black lives being killed unjustly?
I feel strongly about it, Karen.
What did you want me to, like, what did you
make me sad, Karen? It makes me sad.
I really didn't know what I was meant to say to that. I thought it was like the silliest question that I'd ever had. So I just, maybe I was wrong, but I just didn't answer it, because I thought, I'm just, I don't have the time to engage in that. I just don't have the time to engage in that. If you're going to be an ally, it's not because I've coerced you into it and I've spoken into it. If you are not readily seeking it out and saying, how do I learn more, whether I'm asking a question, I'm looking at the internet, I am not going to coerce you into it, because if our 5-6 years of friendship hasn't already made you passionate about black issues, me sitting down right now is not, like, it might, but it shouldn't have taken us this to get there. So that was
100%.
I'm a little sad, of course, for my friends and the people that are in my life who I thought were supportive and have obviously shown me that they're not.
Yeah.
But for other allies, I think it's education, but it's also acknowledging their part. As an ally, you have to say, this is what I have been wrong for. This is what I have done. This is the microaggressions that I have done. And this is what I've caused to hurt the black community. And now I want to know how to make it better. How do I do that? And it's about taking the accountability for me.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Ooh, I've got something to say to that, girl. Like, I think I agree with everything you said. I was going to talk about something I saw on James Corden on the Late Late Show. The Late Late Show in his garage, because he's social distancing. So, and he was talking about, they did this skit, and it was an ethnic minority who works for the Late Late Show talking to James over the TV about how to talk about white privilege. And I think it gave some really great concrete steps of how to do it. Because I think that, shame on your friends, I just got to say it. Yeah. But maybe some of them genuinely felt afraid, because so many people are now saying, don't talk to black people, go educate yourself. Some people might be like, maybe I shouldn't go to Anissa because this is what I'm seeing when I go online. So one of the first things they say, as you said, was recognize your own privilege. Like, recognize that if you're white, you have privilege, and don't see it as a bad thing. They're like, you didn't do anything to get it. You were born white, you have privilege. It's just,
and I won't just say for white, it's like everyone who's not black. I won't say black. Everyone who's not black. Everyone.
Okay, so I'm specifically talking about white privilege. So that's good to make that clear. And another thing is to listen to the experience of black and brown people, which we've said. Also, understand that you're going to feel guilty. If you're white, you're probably going to feel guilty and feel complicit. Yeah. And it's just like, that's normal, because you might not have ever thought about this before. But the point is, I think the issue that we have in racism, and this is something that Akala says in his book, Natives, which is a great book, people need to get that. He was saying the problem is that we've made racism binary. If you're racist, you're a bad person. If you're not racist, you're a good person. So as soon as you're saying what you said sounds a bit racist, I'm not racist, I'm not racist. Like, people don't want to identify with that. So if you're coming to me and you want to be an ally, just realize that you might not even realize some of the things you're doing are racist, because actually they're built into structures. Exactly. You were born with this privilege, and you don't realize when you ask me about my hair every single time I come to work, like, it feels like I'm performing for you. It feels a bit uncomfortable. And to me, so you need to take that on board and not realize you're not a bad person, that we just need to have the conversation. Also, don't make it about your feelings. I don't care if you don't cry about your feelings. Like you said, Luenda, I've been dealing with this for my whole life. So it's sad, it's upsetting, but I don't need to process your guilt somewhere else. Yeah. Let's just have the conversation.
Yeah.
And I just felt that those were really good steps in trying to tell someone actively how to be an ally without making it about yourself.
Yeah.
I want to just jump off the back of that, because you said some really good points there, Sophie. So first of all, absolutely, people need to commit for the rest of their life. Okay.
Yes, I don't
to stop caring about it when it stops trending. Okay. That to me is really offensive. Like you and Anissa just said about taking accountability, that's number two, because the thing is, you can't like skip steps. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you can't, like if I like stepped on your foot and then I walked away and then was like, hey, do you want to go for coffee? He's like, nah, but I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. I'm in pain from something that you have done. Yes. So you hashtag in Black Foot Matters is not going to stop my foot from bleeding. Like, I'm in pain. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think another thing that people need to realize is that it's not an individual issue. So yes, we can call you out on your issues that you have done as a person, but this is so much bigger than you. And so people need to humble themselves that it's not going to be, all right, well, I went to the Black Lives Matter protest, so I've done my bit. It's not that. Yeah. It's so much more than that. This has been going on in our society for decades before any of us watching or listening to this video was even born, okay? So I think that it has been a little bit upsetting to me to see people who have done racist things to me in my life, who I have called them out on it, then do Blackout Tuesday.
Crazy.
Have you spoken to them? Have you said anything have you said anything to them since?
So here's the thing. I have been like, I made a YouTube video about performative allyship because it really cuts me deep. And so when these kind of painful things happen to me, it really helps me to write down my thoughts and get everything sorted. So that is what I did for my sanity. Yeah. I did that for my sanity. But I think that people are very quick to jump on the bandwagon for self-celebrating purposes, you know? Like, do you think that you're special because you don't agree with murder? Do you know what I mean? Going back to what Sophie said about, okay, we can say Derek who killed George, right? We can say Derek's a bad guy over there, because then it makes you over here feel like a good guy. Yeah. But then when we're doing bad and good, what no one is doing is working towards being better. Yeah. And that's why I said lifelong commitment. It needs to be a lifelong commitment of personal growth. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it, okay? And don't, like, you don't need to be afraid to have these kind of conversations with your Black friends at all. Like, I have these conversations with my my white friends who want to be allies all the time, because I know it's coming from genuine places. But then there are people who don't. And if I don't have time for you, you're not going to hear from me, you know what I mean? And I don't have, it's not my responsibility to be an encyclopedia on Black issues for you. When, like I said, everyone has the internet. So, like, we're not going to do that at all. But I think that there has definitely been a shift which has been giving me hope. Like, someone put it as an eruption of consciousness. Mm. And obviously an eruption of white consciousness, because we've been knowing. But it makes a difference, because, like I said earlier, like, if Black voices alone could have changed the tide, we would not be swimming in this. We wouldn't, we would have been walking from time. So the big shift that's happened has been white allies using their voice, white people going to, I've never seen so many white people at protests in my life, ever. Do you know but what I mean?
It's also important, not that we have white allies, and I mentioned a little bit before, that we have allies of every colour outside of just that
are black
people.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because we are often grouped together as people of colour, as BAME, yeah. as urban. And in fact, the other people of colour are just as much at times against us or hurtful as the white community. And so even though we need white allies, we need allies of every color, because our actual statement here is to say we are all equal and we
also yeah.
matters. And maybe we might get the white community accepting their responsibility in the part they played, but we've also got to look at what the other communities have also done to do
the Asian community.
I don't know really it, yeah. it's like the whole like hair shop wholesale argument. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that about a black guy who opened his own black hair shop, and he was being blackballed by wholesalers because some people from the Asian community basically said, don't work with him. And so he couldn't continue to supply his own black hair shop. So there's other races out there who are just as hurtful to us as white people. Mm. And they also need to be educated about what yeah. they've done and how they yeah. can yeah. be allies to us.
I would say as well, in all this education that we're asking various yeah. allies to do, just remember that we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
We don't.
That's how you learn.
Like, for me yeah. personally, I posted a blackout square for Blackout Tuesday. Yeah. And then, after reading up about it a bit more, like, because they were saying the problem is a lot of people were using Black Lives Matter hashtag, which is actually blocking the Black Lives Matter Instagram feed. So there was a lot of black squares when usually people can type in Black Lives Matter hashtag and get a lot of information.
Yeah.
And they were saying we shouldn't be muting ourselves because it was specifically for the music industry. And if we're not posting, we're not actually giving information at a time that it's really needed. And I was just kind of like, oh, crap. Like, I was supporting it. And I didn't fully understand. And then I was like, okay, I need to look at this and blah, 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 blah. And I think for allies, they need to know you're not always going to get it right. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
People don't always get it right.
Yeah.
Like the views that I have now, some of them I didn't even have at the beginning of this week.
Because at the beginning of the show, even in the middle of the call.
Exactly. Linda will tell me, like, Sophie, actually, that's not the full story. Linda might be like, are you aware of this? And Nisa's kind of like, oh, actually, have you seen it from this point of view? It's okay to start this journey and say the wrong things and take an about turn and be like, actually, I don't believe that anymore. Because we're so much on the hard and fast. It's like, guys, it's a long-term journey. And also, what I wanted to say is, to also let them be around our black joy, because about the pain and the murder and the very worst things that are happening to our community. I'm like, let your allies come around your black joy, the barbecue, the wedding, when we are celebrating our blackness to the extreme and we love it.
Yeah. And I'm done with the black trauma.
Exactly. Let them see everything about our blackness. Let them see all of it and let them see what they're being an ally to. It's our life.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a word today. I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Took it to church.
Minister Sophie.
Threw their hands up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Giving us an anointing on the altar, Minister Sophie. Hallelujah.
Tell us again. Oh my God. And on that note of black joy, we will be ending the first ever episode of Ethnically Speaking, guys. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Please don't forget to like and leave a comment. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so that you don't miss a thing. If you would like to know about any of the resources that we talked about today, you can head over to unitedmelaningroup.com/ES001. And there's also a link in the description. Guys, thank you so much. We will see you same time, same place next week. Stay safe and stay at home.